Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 75 from timingresearch.com. Today is April 30th, 2019, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 40 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list of the top requests together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I have Brian Klindworth of Alpha Shark with me today, and Neil Batho and Mike Pisani should be joining us in a few minutes, but I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Brian if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Brian Klindworth, and I work with AlphaShark.com. And kind of my trading background real quick, got some mentoring that started in 2012 under an RIA, fell in absolute love with trading, also learned coding in that time, and became a custom indicator developer and trading system developer, and then started to moderate AlphaShark's live unusual options trading activity trading room from 12:30 until 2 in the afternoon. And so basically my strategy is twofold. I have my own custom trading strategy as well as unusual options. I rely kind of about 50-50 on both.
All right. Sounds good. And so let's get started with the list here. The first is MU.
Micron. Chips are kind of, as everyone can see, I actually have a chip name up right now, MagnaChip. This is one of my personal trades. They're reporting earnings here in a minute. And for those of you that don't know what unusual option activity is, first, that strategy, what we do is we spend all day looking for trade positions like this. You can see that the volume on MX today was 10,000 calls. And if you look throughout the option chain here, this thing doesn't trade. So this hit us is a very unusual position. And so I took this. That's what the unusual option activity strategy is. So pretty much what we kind of the first place I start with any given symbol is the option chain. And it does take some commitment to use this approach. And our trading room has a scanner that gives us the tools to do that. But by watching a given symbol's chain, you can also just with what's in Thinkorswim or any other, you know, mainstream trading platform, basically you can see what's going on with unusual options. So we didn't really get anything there today. And Micron is kind of one of those names where if I'm going to get into it, usually if I'm going to get into it for a swing trade, I usually want to see some unusual option activity to sort of justify it. That being said, we're going back here to the chart, and this is my standard setup here. We have the daily on the upper left. I've got the hourly on the upper right. I've got the 15-minute on the lower left, and then I've got the 5-minute right now. I have after hours enabled. I'm going to get rid of that because that actually changes my signals a little bit. So give me 2 seconds here to do that. Changes my algorithm a little bit. There we go. So 5-minute down here. So we don't have any unusual option activity to go from. So the next thing on technical analysis, I prefer simplicity and clean charts. I'm using my moving average set here. And this is going to be an 8-period EMA. I use a 350 EMA, and then I use a 200 EMA. Now, the 350 really only comes into play when we're kind of in a flattish over the longer term price position. A lot of times in a trending market, you'll see it fall off and people tend to stick to the 200 as sort of the longer term moving average to use. But right now, given that we're right near, you know, October levels, and then again, we came through January of 2018 levels, that 350 is in play, as you can see here on Micron. Now, this is something that gives us some potential opportunity on a TA basis because the convergence, just really simple TA, what you're seeing here, this convergence gives us really strong support with two long-term moving averages coming right. The price action tried to get underneath them a couple 2 days ago, could not do it, had a nice, pretty bullish candle there. And then it did kind of what I love, which is it retested them. And now today we sort of bounced off of them a little bit. So we're sitting right in between these two long-term moving averages and this 8-period moving average. So what for me as a trader, this gives me is that I wouldn't necessarily swing trade this yet because given this condition, I should expect maybe some unusual options to come in over the next few days. And I tend to be more patient, but this puts me my bias as bullish, definitely bullish. As long as we're staying above here, and then when we get above this 8 and hold in particular, then I have a very bullish outlook on it. Because as you can see, when we got up here before, sort of worst case from a swing trade perspective, perspective is over the last month and a half or so, we didn't get into any real significant losses on it, and it didn't build up a downtrend. So in the, from that perspective, I am bullish on this name medium term. Also on the fundamental basis, there's some news coming out that the chip sector does look like it's going to maybe sort of turn around. They were really about a month ago, really kind of negative on chips. Chips tend to move together. And it looks like we got news that maybe demand might be increasing. So I am bullish on this, but I would not wait to swing trade it until the other traders come in with some unusual options.
All right. Sounds good. The next one's MRTX.
All right, MRTX. So just using our approach, our unusual option activity approach, notice first thing, MRTX is sort of a lower volume name. We are coming off of, and I do not actually know what these people in particular do. We have a few symbols that are like that, but I'm a TA guy, so I'll be glad to do it even without the fundamentals. Earnings. Let's see. They just recently reported earnings on yesterday afternoon. So anytime we have a name that is immediately post earnings, like immediately, I always want to wait a couple of days, sort of like being on an island. If you have a big gap up or a big gap down, my preference is to give that new scenario time to develop. Now, this is actually a pretty unusual, speaking of unusual, pretty unusual response to an earnings report. The name yesterday posted on 429 just prior they sold. And then we had some movement today, but we only closed down like a buck and change. Hold on, let me full screen this. This is a pretty odd, like, give me a second here. We had really good volume. It's really odd to see see something like this, this candlestick formation here. So prior to earnings, we closed at 61.35. Then today we open at 60.05. So it gave up $1.30. But then we closed after trading post this new information. We only closed down 59.6. So we only closed down 45 cents. So this is an unusual response to an earnings report. This really sticks out to me. After dealing with now as a live trader, many, many numerous earnings seasons, this is unusual. So in this case, very much I'm neutral here. Really good volume today. So this price discovery should give us a solid floor. We tested. The red one is going to be my 200. The green one is going to be my 350. That is really not in play in this one. And you can see why, because it's had a decent little uptrend here. So this one is a wait and see name for me. It's unusual, though, the name itself. It's more off the beaten path. But take a look at what we got going on here. What would encourage me is that post earnings today, we had unusual call flow on your monthly May 17 at the money options. I'm a directional options trader. I have a cash-based account, so I don't sell options. I only buy them. So I do either long calls, long puts, straddles, or strangles. And with this unusual flow here being an unusual name, that gets my attention combined with the unusual candle. So actually, the issue here, however, is your spread for your option traders. Then as well, your implied volatility here is at 124%. So we still have, the market makers haven't as of yet, probably because of the price action today, they have not pulled out the expected move from yesterday's earnings report. Again, that's reflective of that very strange candle. So this one is we want to get rid of that implied volatility out of those options before we go long them. See how the implied volatility, I have it down here on the lower right. See how your implied volatility, we get an earnings report and everybody that trades options knows usually what happens the next day is that implied volatility goes off a cliff. That hasn't happened yet. And so I want to wait until that comes out. That is also a cause for this wide spread. Now, if you're interested in an equity here, again, you can, implied volatility of a particular name is useful to an equity trader. The same way that the VIX is useful to an equity trader, right? So you can use implied volatility to see how stable the price of that particular name is. We have not achieved that stability yet. So what that tells me is wait and see, because my feeling on this one is that it's going to come back down towards this 200 and give me a better entry to go long. That means cheaper options or cheaper equities. I would love to see this thing get back down to that 200 at 56.13, and then I would consider longing it.
Okay, great. And next one is EXEL.
I think we had this one. This one hit my scanner not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
All right, EXEL. trying to remember what, I'm not going to open the room back up. I think we have a note on it. All right, EXEL. So we're going to go back to my kind of my standard approach. And as speaking to maybe newer traders here, one of the newer skills that I had to develop was being systemic in everything I do. So same sort of approach every time. Take a look. How's the option chain look? Do I have any unusual calls? Do I have any unusual puts anywhere? Can I find maybe some spreads? Again, not a ton of option flow on this, unlike some other names like Micron, which had a ton, and some names further down the list had a ton. We have some unusual option in August here. We're using open interest. So these are not options that traded today. These are options that are written and basically kind of active is sort of the way to look at this. So somebody took a position with a good number of calls here that are near the strike price. Not quite. They're in the money a little bit. So this is a long signal for me. It's not offset by any puts. It's not really offset by any calls that might be sold against it. So that's a long signal, but I need, you know, a majority of reasons, several reasons to take a trade. I'm not usually going to take a swing trade for just one reason. And we have a little bit of an issue here for the long side. They're reporting here tomorrow. So somebody took a big earnings play on this. This is a little rich for my blood and my account size. And this personally is a little rich for my blood. I would want to double check to make sure that these calls were in fact bought rather than sold. So hey, we're going to hold off on this.
Hey, and Mike is with us now, so he can join the conversation as well. So Mike, we're on EXEL, and Brian.
I thought we started at 4:30.
Four o'clock now. Sorry,
dude. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's.
I apologize, guys. I thought it was 4:30 for some reason. I was still on the old time.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Brian. David. Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. Hey, you can jump in.
All right. Let me get my screen up and get going here. Sorry, I thought a little off. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing well.
Who else is joining us today, David?
I'm good. Neil Batho was supposed to be here as well, but he has not been able to join us yet either. So not sure if he'll be here as well. Okay. So it might be just you two guys talking.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks for having me on. Brian, nice to meet you. If you guys didn't know, Brian is one of co-moderators with me sometimes in Alpha Shark, and I also have my own thing with Smart Option Trading. So, Brian, you started going through some of these, right? So let's, what have you gotten through, Excel?
We're on Excel. I just kind of got to the end of it saying that the earnings report on this one coming up is probably a little rich for my blood. Although I did note those August call holders, that open interest there in August, and that's kind of where I left it.
All right. So let me take a hard look here. I have reading for Apple here, guys. So let me step back, Brian. Let's come back to this. What I like to do is when we start this show off and I host it is always bring up where the markets are and what's going on with the markets and how do you feel about the markets here. So I'll let you go first and then I'll jump in.
Oh, absolutely. I'm more than happy to speak about the broader market in general.
Just a quick, no, nothing huge, just quick.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to go to the S&P 500 chart, and there's a couple of different tools we can use. Now, we are approaching all-time highs in the middle of the densest part of the earnings on the S&P 500.
Oh, we're at all-time highs.
Right, we are at all-time highs. We did close today, didn't we? Yep. So we're at an all-time high on the S&P 500 in the middle of the densest part of the earnings season on the S&P 500 for this quarter. Current close level was at 29.45. Now, something that really sticks out is I would love to see this thing on positive EPSs, 76% so far, as of about 3:30 this afternoon, about 76% of EPSs have been beats. So what that tells me is that there's no reason for this thing to go for that natural number of 3,000. There's no reason for this thing not to go for that natural number of 3,000. I think
so
that I'd love to
see.
So
you put
more
emphasis on earnings per share than revenue?
EPS is determines in the longer term, I believe, price. And generally, yes, I prefer EPS over revenue.
You see, now I'm exactly the opposite because earnings per share are manipulated, right?
Sure.
Because you do cost cutting, you do buybacks, all that stuff affects earnings per share. Whereas revenue is your sales. It's how you're doing. It's your guide. So I'm always a big believer it's revenue, because earnings per share is so manipulated, especially in this market with tremendous buyback potential. So you're thinking we're heading right to 3,000.
If we continue to report like we have, I would like to see
AMD rocket ship.
All right, good. Yep. See, we got another. And the other thing that I noticed is that this time around, on this time visiting these all-time highs, the other thing that I noticed is it's not just one or two names holding the S&P up like we've seen before, where it's been the big, big, huge cap names. Those aren't the ones that are doing it. It's more kind of mid-cap stuff going on that's keeping this thing up, and that's very bullish.
I have a different opinion here than you.
Okay.
And I'm a bull on this market, and I've been you've known me. I've been telling everybody to stay long this market for the last 3 months. I will tell you right here, right now, I do not have a good feeling about this market. I feel that we either need to pull back and give a 3-5% correction here, or some type of action to pull it back, or we are facing a runaway market like we had in January of 2018, which ultimately leads to corrective action. So here we are at all-time highs. You notice the RSI on the SPY is screaming hot. SPY doesn't like to be hot like this. So for me, I'm hoping that we get a little bit of a pullback here. We have Apple tonight in about 9 minutes and the Fed. So I'm hoping we get some kind of corrective action there and bring it back. So I'm looking for a little bit of a small pullback, maybe back to 289 area, and then we see.
All right.
All right. So that brings us to Excel, and you went over Excel and or EXEL.
Yep.
And for me, not a name I normally trade. Pull this up here. Come on, there we go. And it's had a really nice pullback. And I will tell you, I don't know why it pulled back, but I think here it's actually, I'm not sure when earnings are, but I think this is a good time if it can get back above the 200-day to take a shot. If it can't reclaim the 200-day, there's no trade on this for me.
Earnings are tomorrow.
Earnings are tomorrow. So after tomorrow, if it reclaims the 200-day, I think you take a long.
All right. Yeah. What about ahead of earnings?
What about which one?
No. Do you agree with me that sort of ahead earnings, this one's not the best idea?
Well, it's earnings for tomorrow. Yeah, I wouldn't touch this name. Yeah. But you know me, I don't play names for earnings. I got to turn. Hang on, I'm getting too much noise in my ear from Charlie. For me, I wouldn't play earnings. Earnings are not the things I like to play. But what I do like here is I like the way this market's set up right now. And I would, if it gets above the 200 a day for this one, after having a pullback and corrected already, I would give it a shot, but not ahead of earnings. I agree. All right. So how about a name near and dear to my heart? How about, what do you think of Amazon here? Earnings or bond?
All right, let's take a look at Amazon.
Take a minute. I'm going to put you on mute for a second.
Fundamentally, Amazon, it's clear they want to take over the world, and I don't see any reason why they're not going to succeed in it. Really, the only major risk to Amazon is legislative action. And the thing is that monopoly is a very strictly defined thing. And Amazon is not that. They're way too diversified to be considered a monopoly. So I don't think there's that legal risk. Some people do. I don't really agree with that. They're going to have to write new laws to deal with Amazon if they want to break it up. So this one I do not trade, because the options are just, for a smaller account trader like me, these options are not a good fit. They move entirely too fast. For larger accounts, it's a great, great name. I love seeing this move below the 350 and then a move back up. A lot of give back here. Not at an all-time high. This is one of those names that I look for to see if we're getting too many, the large caps holding it up. So I don't have the strongest of opinions. What does concern me here is that these moving averages are starting to get a little extended. So I would maybe like to see just a minor pullback on this before going long and tighten up this really, really near term against the 200. This one is developing a trend, so the 350 is not really in play anymore. So you would also want to check your distance between your 8 and maybe your 48 or your 50, whatever you prefer to use, and see what's going on there as well. It is trending, though. So on a pullback, your trend is your friend, and we didn't see any hits on this today, did we?
For what do you mean by hits? There were some buying in it.
Okay. So as long as they're buying calls in it, and we take a pullback, because we have run up from 1640 to 1926 with only a couple days of real selling here, then I would want to take it more then. This is a beautiful name fundamentally. There's no reason why this can't go to all-time highs, even if the market pulls back.
See, now, so I like this name. I do like AMD quite a Amazon quite a bit. They were buying the weekly 1950s this morning. You know, I didn't like that report, Brian. And what I didn't like about the report was, again, guidance wasn't great. They guided down. And, you know, we gave the earnings move back already, didn't we? We pretty much gave the entire earnings move back. I don't know here. I'm kind of in limbo on Amazon. I kind of think if Apple's strong and the market decides it wants to go into, you know, complete and full-on FOMO mode, then you got to get long this name for a move to 25. Does that make sense? But, you know, if it's going to pull back, you know, the 21 day, it's 1868 would be my first place I would even think about if the market pulled back, and maybe even all the way down to 1768 if it really wanted to pull back, if the market really wanted to give a pullback. I just did not love the earnings. I just thought that the revenues was flat, and specifically their cloud computing, which has been driving everything, their AWS, didn't look good. And that to me is a little bit of a red flag on this name. So technically, love the name. Chart still looks good. I don't care about it being a little bit hot up here. It could do that. For me, there's big concerns here right now about the possibility of, that earnings weren't enough on this name. Again, EPS beat, revenue was light. I hate when we get stuff like that. Really do. For me, yeah. So 2025, if the market takes off, if not, I'll try looking for it down a lot lower from here. And to me, really, this market tonight is all about Apple. You know, if Apple doesn't deliver tonight, I think we're ultimately all in trouble here and we're going to have some issues.
And we'll find the answer in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of waiting for. Yeah. I'm kind of stalling here a little bit, looking at that, saying, okay.
I understand completely.
Bring it up. AMD here. So AMD just came out. They beat EPS and revenue. By the way, happy birthday, AMD. AMD, today they turned 50 years old. Rare for a semi. My screen is showing, isn't it?
Sure is. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice beat here. Up here a little bit pre-market, 30. If it takes out 30, this thing can really start to take off. And I show that number for a reason here. So everybody, I know we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but watching this here as we're hating for Apple, 30 has been a big area of resistance for a while. So we take that out, this thing will take off. We'll see what the call does. And the one thing I will warn you guys all, it's always about the phone call, the call. All right, 2 minutes to Apple. Let's wait. Let's do one more. Brian, the IWM, small caps. Ugh.
Yeah, right. IWM is... This is not one that I normally trade as well. Remember, folks, there's 10,000 symbols to choose from in Thinkorswim. That being said, you can see what I have up here just from a broader TA perspective. This is, as far as a trend grab, and I drew this out a while ago, and it basically broke from a symmetrical triangle right at your 200, your 350. Everything kind of converged on this bounce. It almost, from a trend perspective, looks too good to be true to me. Anytime I see something land like this, and I drew this out a while ago, this is over a month old. This looks almost too good to be true, folks. Like, really, this is perfect here, as far as your broader stuff. Now, look at it compared to S&P, compared to your Dow. Look at how much more room there is on IWM. So again, this is another name that I would really need to see some unusual flow on this, because we don't see it a lot, in order for me to get into this. But I think that there's more.
I'm going to take that back from you, Brian. I saw at least 10 orders today of $500,000 or more in the IWM.
Beautiful.
So, but they're both sides. We see tons of flow into these things on a day, the ETFs. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, there's a lot of flow that goes into these things on a daily basis, right? You see a ton of option flow in these things every day, the ETFs. But to your point, it's a laggard, right, at this point?
Yes, it is. Definitely a laggard.
But you like it to the long side.
There's room for it to come up, and the trend is holding. The uptrend is holding.
Okay.
Personally, I would not trade this. I think that there's the reason being, from a small account perspective, relative to its cost, its ATR is low, and I don't like to be in trades for a long, long time. I prefer shorter swings, like in the 7-day area. And so there's, as far as P&L perspective for a smaller account, this just doesn't have enough movement for me to get excited about it. ES is running.
Is it?
Yep, ES is running.
Oh, Apple's out. Apple's up, 209. Apple, so thank you, bro. We'll come back to this. Revenue quarter, EPS beat by 10 cents, rev beat, guides up by $2 billion for the third quarter. Jesus. Oh my God. Let's guide up by, not a little bit, let's guide up by $2 billion, Brian.
Yeah.
$2
billion. On my screen, I have what this is doing to the futures market over here on the left, everybody. Just so you can see how Apple, like Mike had said, this market is about Apple right there. Boom. You can see ES just running with it.
Wow. That's going to move the market. Apple is 3.5% of the SPY and 10% plus of the Qs. That's going to move the markets. It's all as long as the Fed doesn't do something strange tomorrow, you may be right. We may get into this, you know, this may move this market into that complete on chase mode, right?
That's what I'm concerned about. I mean, in my opinion, we've sort of been there since the recovery.
Well, no, I would disagree. We've had a very controlled move. Chase mode is what we saw in January of 2018. This has been a very, very nice stair-stepping up, grinding move. I'll take that every day, right? We'll come back to that in a second. Let's go back to the IWM. What else you have on there, as Apple's just ballistic here? It's up now, $13.
It's my CNBC is actually a little delayed. It's showing up at 11:93. That might be my delay. Market makers had what was the move priced into this? So
950.
So market makers are getting hurt here. As long as this holds, folks. I mean, it's remember this
we haven't heard the call yet.
Yep, we haven't heard the call. That's important. The call is what's important. It sounds like though, if they're going to give that aggressive, and sort of Apple might take over here. If they're going to get that aggressive, I don't see why they would back that down in the call. Do you agree with that? If they're going to guide up by that much.
Well, I mean, it depends. It depends what they say. You know, I'll go back to a year ago, Caterpillar, great numbers, pushed to an all-time high. And then in the middle of the call, the CEO says, this is the high watermark. And not only does Caterpillar crash, the whole market comes crashing down. So you just never know, right?
Right, you don't.
You just don't know. What if it comes out and they release here that they paid Qualcomm $10 billion to settle the suit?
Very, very true.
I'm making up a fictitious number, right, Brian? We don't know. It hasn't been released. But what if that comes out? That could be a hit on them, right?
Yeah. So we need to wait on that.
Yeah. You never know.
Dividend, pause dividend raise on Apple by 5% to 77 cents a share.
All right. Back to the IWM. You have anything else to add on the small caps here?
For me, better opportunities elsewhere from a small account perspective. Now, Mike's style is very, very different than mine in terms of his account and whatnot. I'm speaking more from just what I do, having a smaller account. So I think I pass on this at this point because there's better opportunities.
I would keep this on my radar very heavily here. I think you made some great points, Brian. The one thing I haven't liked about the IWM, it's been lagging now for a long time, right? Even though we like when the IWM leads, here it's gone into lagging mode where the broader indexes, the Qs and the SPY made all-time highs. We're not even close, right? We're still a long way off that 172 mark. That said, markets like to rotate. And if they decide they want to rotate into small caps, if it clears this 158 area, and it's been struggling, right? 158.50 here has been a huge, huge headache for this name. This has been huge trouble. Every time it pops above it, it comes back in. If it can get above this and hold over it, you can look for a move. It's got room to run, as you said. So I think if they decide they want to rotate out of tech and big cap names, this would be the area to go. That said, if this breaks down, this will lead us to be the first to go. So I'd watch this carefully. If it can't hold the 50-day, I would be out of it. You notice you have a cluster here of moving averages, the 50-day, the 100, the 200-day, the 100-day, I'm sorry, the 200-day and the 21-day. All this is very close together. You can't hold the 50-day here, time to get out. I mean, that would be my line in the sand at 155. So you can give it a couple bucks of room here and give it a shot if this is a name you like. And I would buy time on this. Apple's still surging here, AMD holding in, looking around. What else we got here? That was IWM. I'm going to switch gears, Brian. I want to go with MGM here. And the reason I want to go with MGM, we have Macau numbers tonight. And MGM reported last night.
Yes, they did. And they reported Macau. And it was 189 million. MGM split their report between Macau and Vegas. I do not remember the Vegas number.
Right. But we actually get numbers from China tonight, overnight on the last month.
Right. This gaming stocks are an area that I have... Because gaming stocks are sort of a specialty, they tend to, when we see ES is fading a little bit, that's to be expected. Gaming stocks are sort of a specialty area. And as you can see by the price action of MGM that reflects that, this is not consistent with the S&P 500 broadly. And so for a newer trader, this can be a difficult play. From a technical perspective, we go back to the basics, which is your moving averages and your levels. I don't see us being at a level that is attractive to the long side. But again, more numbers, more information, tons of thick of the earnings season. Every day is a new scenario. So Macau numbers could come out, completely change sentiment on this name. I would wait until, again, just like an ER, I would wait until the other side of it if I'm not already in it.
So I always like to play with the casinos. What I don't like here was it got beaten up pretty good again after being down. We were well off the highs. The casinos have been struggling. MGM doesn't have the biggest footprint in Macau. It's really Wynn. Wynn has the biggest footprint there. But it has some exposure there. It's struggling to get going here. You know, we keep seeing it bounce up and it can't hold. And a lot of this, I think, Brian, is tied to a China trade deal. If we don't get a trade deal with China, I think, you know, casinos are going to take a big hit. A lot of their revenue now comes out of the China market. So I would watch. We have Wynn yet to report. Las Vegas Sands already reported. They were great. Wynn has yet to report. Wynn's always tough to get a date on. They always don't announce it to the last day for some reason. It's very weird how they get away with that. But if we get good numbers tomorrow, the casinos take off, I'd watch for this name to reverse quickly here. Just, you know, there's a lot of effort here. I also would watch for them to be part of a merger acquisition with maybe with Caesar or somebody like that. to expand their footprint, to add some more real estate into their marketplace. But from a technical perspective, post earnings, you got to see how it handles here now. If it cannot hold this area, I would look for a retest of 25. And if it reheld 25, that would make for a nice area to try it long. So how about on to my next favorite, Microsoft. Love Microsoft. This is what an earnings name should look like.
Microsoft gaps up and holds, no problem.
Yep.
Gaps up and holds. I mean, no serious effort to take any of it back. We have 4 days of new information from the new picture. Boom. Could not. I mean, almost the bottom of your slightly bearish candle. Nothing to worry about here, though. You know, considering the size of the gap, and you can already see you don't even have to zoom in. You can already see it wanting to start a new trend here. It's extended. Good night compared to the rest of the market. Is it extended? I think to speak about AWS being sort of stagnant, that it has to go somewhere. And Azure, if I remember the ER correctly, was huge. And so I tend to be very cautious. And this is a bigger underlying name. I have a smaller account, so I have to be really cautious. The IV has come out of these options here. We're not paying any excess premium. I almost say I don't know that this gap is going to fill. It's generally sort of trading 101, look for the gap fill. I don't know that this one's going to. And so,
well, there's an old Wall Street saying, all gaps get filled eventually.
How long will it take, though?
So this is where I say, look where the name came from. Go back a year ago, right? Early May, we were trading at 91. We're up at 136. That's a huge move. Go back a couple of years ago, we were trading at 40, right? For a big cap name, this is a monstrous move, right? Fabulous. To your point, as long as it holds 129, you can stay long versus 129, I think, right? I think that's your point. I think that's a great point. But what I see is RSI screaming here at 84. I worry about that. You know, it's got to cool off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It could go sideways. It doesn't mean it has to dump.
Right.
But this is Microsoft. Are you telling me Microsoft is the new X-Link or the Microsoft is the next NVIDIA? You know what I'm saying? Can it stay overbought this big, this long?
I was asking that question a month ago. Look at how extended this is compared to the broader market with this huge of a move.
Look at the 200-day down at 110.
Yeah, this is crazy.
So honestly, this is where I would tell you that if you've been in it for a long time, you should be taking profits and tightening up your stop. If you want to trade it, you either take it long if it holds 129, or you wait for it to break here above 131, maybe, you know, and try to go. But at this point, to me, other than some scalp trades, and there's a difference between day trading it and like owning it, I wouldn't want to be owning it here. I'd look for a pullback. If I can get a pullback to 122 in the 21-day area right now, I think that would be a great place to own it. But to buy it up here for a long-term position, love the name. I don't know that I could do that, Brian.
Right. And again, I'm not an investor. I do not own names. Like I said, my sweet spot is about 7 days on swing trades. And so I always approach things from sort of that perspective.
Right.
On a 7-day horizon, if something does not move for me personally, and I deal with a smaller account, and I'm hoping, you know, that we have some newer traders as well. With a smaller account, if something doesn't move within 7 days, I'll rotate out of it because I feel like I'm taking, you know, a little too much risk for my account size.
Okay.
So this one, I see no evidence of a pullback. If it breaks 129, though, look out. I think you're absolutely right there. If it starts to want to fill that gap, I would love to short it. You know me, I love to be in short. I love to be short.
You're better short than I am, that's for sure. I am not the best short in the world.
Yep.
So I'm busy this week, though.
Good night. Hey, held your position, held through two upgrades. So I do. When Boeing got looking like this, I got excited and I shorted Boeing when it was looking like this, and it worked out great. And this is almost even worse when you zoom your chart out.
Again, love the name. I think long term it's fine, but I wouldn't be buying it here. I'd look for a pullback to get into it. You know, 120, 122 would make a nice little entrance area on it.
Oh yeah, that I would agree with you there. But you might be waiting a while.
We'll see. Never know. You're right. Might be. You know, a couple months ago, had you said Boeing was never going to come back to Earth, and look what happened.
Right. Exactly.
You just never know, right?
Right.
All right. So let's take a look at AMD for trading it tomorrow here, and as a person who's a swing trader, currently is trading at 29. The conference call doesn't start until 5:30 Eastern time. So you know, I suspect it's going to just kind of hang in this area now for the next 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, certainly looks like it. AMD, always, this was one mistake that I made. I caught that initial run up in this area going back quite a while. And I made one of my first trading mistakes where I was like, you know, a losing trade is always, you know, I'm going to lose trades. That's fine. It's all part of it. You know, it's going to happen. But I forgot to check short squeeze on it. I forgot to check the short interest and potential for short squeeze on it. Current short float on AMD is 12.15%. Now, when we got this massive move on it, it was up in the 24 area. And I got out way too early. So I always look, you know, to check on names that tend to be short heavy to see squeeze potential. So is this going to be enough from 27 to 29 if it holds? And again, there are nights you can have an earnings report come out and it'll something will move 5% up and give it all back by the open. If it holds here, the question is this going to be enough to get another potential squeeze going? Mike is, I know personally, he knows this name much better than I do individually. And he got the details on the ER quicker than I did. Looks like they missed by a penny.
They beat by a penny.
Or they beat by a penny, excuse me. So I'm gonna defer to Mike on this one. One wonderful thing about this name, I talk about ATR relative to your underlying price. Remember, I mentioned IWM was a low ATR. AMD's ATR is almost over two thirds that of IWM compared to a $27 underlying versus the $150 and change underlying for IWM. So for a smaller account, shorter term trader, or for scalps or for day trades, AMD can give you fantastic results. But as far as opening a longer term swing trade, this is not a name I would normally go with. I would really want to see the price action tomorrow, see if it gives it back or not.
So we're talking a tough space. The semis have been generally a very tough sector for the last couple of months. They were one of the things that led us into our correction. And they haven't come out of it as good as some of the other names. Like you can look at Nvidia, right? They've struggled. Micron hasn't gotten its magic back yet, or Western Digital. Intel had her reports earlier and last week, right? And they've been down hard.
Right.
This is my favorite name in the space right now. I don't think this name is done. I've thought that for a while. What I love about this is, you know, up in the stratosphere up here back in the 30s, remember that? Mm-hmm. Gives a pullback. I said the line of the sand on this stock, I think I said was 16. It never got there. It toyed with it, but never quite yanked into it, right? Was able to hold it and has had a nice steady stair-stepping climb off of it. And in for the last couple of weeks, you've been in a box with 2850 as an area where it needed to clear and just can't quite hold it. You got a tight setup. And here you are pounding up towards what? We just missed 30 on the initial salvo. I think this one can go higher. They're firing on a lot of cylinders. They have a good CEO. They're not extended in any way. They have their new chipset out. They have their new graphics card out. They are really starting to eat into Intel again. We haven't seen a move like this out of them in a long time. I think if this report holds, this could be a catalyst to get this sector going, and specifically AMD. And if it's good, it breaks above 30 and it goes and runs for 33. And then we see if it can take that out. All-time highs obviously are much higher from back in the dot-com days, right? So, you know, we're not looking at that. We're not trying to talk about that. We're talking about just getting it going. But to your point, Brian, there's no more short squeeze left in this name. You know, the shorts got there, you know, they got killed. Back when this thing was trading around 4 about a year and a half ago, they got destroyed as it moved up into the 30s. They're all gone here. But this is my favorite semi right now. This is the one I would look to tomorrow. And if it's strong, you can also play Nvidia off of it. Nvidia tends to move with it. And Nvidia doesn't report for a while, so you can play that there.
One fundamental thing to add to the discussion about AMD that I do believe is important is there is a persistent rumor. Now, I hate sometimes that word is a challenge, but there is a persistent rumor that Intel had made a fatal error in their tooling to move to the 10 nanometer space, and AMD did not make that mistake. And that could be huge in terms of the next leap forward.
Maybe.
Yep, maybe.
Maybe
persistent rumor, like I said.
Maybe. I'm not technical enough on that standpoint, but if Intel delivers their next chipset and it's good, it'll be great. Honestly, I think, you know, when it comes to this, what AMD has that Intel doesn't have is that those graphic cards, those CPUs,
right,
and that's a standout, right? That allows them to take on not only Intel but to take on Nvidia at the same time. So they can play in two spaces where Intel and Nvidia are only playing in one. I like that. All right, we got about 10 minutes left, and I want to leave a couple minutes to talk about things. Why don't we go to, let's go to Tesla, Brian, because, boy, has this become a battleground stock. And I have, I think it's going a lot lower.
Oh, Mike, why are you doing this to me? Tesla. I think, you can see the levels here. I mean, this is, I think this thing sort of speaks for itself. There's not much more to see really here than this. That level, that was it. Massive, massive support. And if you go even further back, you'll see more support at that level. The faster moving average here is getting there. We're currently trading at 238. We are in a price area here where all kinds of things happen to Tesla's balance sheet. All kinds of things happen to Elon Musk. And, well, potentially. Now, Musk being Musk, there's always options to fix what's going to happen here. But basically, Musk has margined his shares in order to fund SpaceX. And this is the area where, as that agreement was written, he gets margin called. I think that this thing is going to hurt. Love the product. I'm proud of this company. I think it's amazing that it's an almost, you know, it's about as American as a company can be. Now, I know their batteries are made, you know, not directly by them, but they own the tech. Love the product. Love the idea. Love the company. The CEO is hilarious on Twitter sometimes. That's about the best I can say with that.
Oh, I'll get better than that. I'll give my opinion there.
I think that there's so many things that say that this thing is going lower, and it's really unfortunate. Now, is that factory still going to be producing cars if this thing goes like into the hundreds and Musk gets margin called? There's so much going on here. I certainly would never get long this below that level there. Never. And so this thing has so much short interest stacked up on it. Sometimes that can cause for a massive move to the upside if they get beat hard. This is the most shorted stock out there. This thing's got a problem. Absolutely.
I will point very simply to this trend line. They've been dumping this name slowly and steadily for the last 4 months, quietly getting out of it. Look at that. I mean, that action says a lot. Musk, I kind of view Musk as it's kind of like a snake oil sales. He's always out there tweeting and doing things to try to distract you while he's trying to make everything work. You know, on this call, it was, we're getting into the insurance business, right?
that was when I was like, okay.
So forget the cars. Don't worry about the solar panels. That's not working either. But we're getting into the insurance business now. And, you know, I look at that and I read into this. Hang on. Oh, they're doing work outside my window. I look into some of this stuff and I say, so what's really going on? Your car sales are plummeting. Your profit margins are declining. Your solar or foray into solar hasn't worked. SpaceX is a huge prime. I mean, it's a huge win and great, but it's also got tremendous debt and it's a private company and it's starting to get overwhelmed by its debt. I think the bloom is off here. Now, it's a big area. If it cannot hold 235, I think we're looking at a big move down here eventually. And you're starting to see the put buy. You're really kind of accelerate into this thing at this point. I think they're all starting to smell that this might be in trouble. He's also burning cash. Yep. You know, he burned $10 million a day last quarter. That was their cash burn. That's pretty big, isn't it? $10 million a day. So here, this 230, 235 area, it's huge. On a weekly chart, you can see, like, if it cannot hold here, right, it's game over. That's where it came into. That's where it broke out of here and had that big move. So if it can't hold here, I'd look for a move down to 180.
I see no reason why that's unrealistic at all. I really don't. One other thing to add about Tesla is that it was only 5-6 months ago that they were back ordered on the Model 3, like, to Infiniti.
What happened?
And what happened just, it was a week ago. Now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, well, you can buy Model 3s out of inventory right now. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was a massive, massive red flag on a fundamental level. They were back ordered by, what did he say? Something like 200,000?
But they lost all their tax credits. Yep. Lost half their tax credit. Half the tax credit.
Yep, exactly. The tax credit went, they lost half of it and they're going to lose more. So it's not going to get better.
We're running low on time. We can go a little bit over. Let's switch gears. We've done a lot of tech. Somebody asked about RIG. So why don't we go into an energy stock? They had earnings today.
More earnings. Yep. All right. So on the short-term horizon, wait for this to stabilize out. They had earnings this morning and it was this. All right. This candle.
Yeah.
Take a look at this candle, everybody. This one candle. Take a look at the volume underneath it. You don't see candles like this very often. We opened. This is almost a 100% bear candle. Bitty, bitty wicks, right? With huge volume. Just massive, massive volume. So I'm certainly not going to be looking to get long this until I see something even remotely bullish. So this candle is such a bear candle. To call it, I mean, it's not technically, it's worse than a bearish engulfing. I don't see why they're not going to keep banging on this. A lot of times, though, when you do see this, you'll see some dojis follow it as it tries to build some support, and that will give you time for it to stabilize out. Look for some reason to go long it. Mike, you follow earnings reports a little bit closer than I do. I'm a little more systemic than you are. What was the main issue here with the earnings? Why did we get a candle like this?
It guided down. It wasn't a good revenue. Oil, I mean, I've been talking about it for a while. Oil is artificially inflated here. The oil's had this big move this year, and the energy names haven't haven't followed it. And that's because the only reason oil's up so much is because they're cutting back production so much. If they decide to turn the spigots back on, guess what's going to happen to oil?
Right.
So, you know, rig, Transocean, when oil, there's that much production out there, they're a drilling company, right?
Yep.
Not good for them. Who wants to do a lot more drilling when there's already a surplus in production out there?
Yeah, basically, this one's like basically goes to Econ 101.
Yeah. So I've been watching and avoiding the energy names. And, you know, rig here, I do own it long term, and I don't pay attention to days like today. Does that make sense? Right. It just sits in my account. And I, you know, sometimes like when it was up here, I sold some. And when it gets down here, I buy a little bit more back, and I'll probably buy a little bit more back if it gets down to 625. but this was not good. I would expect it to try to revisit this low here, 625. There's only one name right now that has my attention, and I would keep an eye on CVX, Chevron. So if you weren't paying attention today to the news, you know, Chevron has an offer in on APC and DACO, and Oxy came out and upped the offer. And today the news was that Warren Buffett and Berkshire invested $10 billion into Oxy to fund the buying of APC at a higher price. So Chevron is bounced up today, but didn't act well, but bounced up, right? And you have a gap here at 122. So I'd keep an eye on this name, because this whole move down was based off of them spending a lot of money to buy Endaco out. If Oxy goes with APC, not only do they not spend that money, they get $1 billion from Occidental for a breakup fee. So 122.55, I'd write that down, put a notification on there. If they get the breakup, you hear the news, I would look to take that one. I think that is a play. So
I think that emphasizes a fantastic point, maybe to wrap up sort of trading in general. There's always other options. There's always something else out there that is an opportunity. And Mike just highlighted it perfectly. Here we see Rig get about as ugly of a bear candle as you can get, and he pulls up something on the other side in the same space for entirely different reasons, folks. So I think that's a great way to wrap it up. Yep.
And earnings. So this point, you always have to be looking. Don't fall in love with a name. Watch the space. If you like the space, watch what else is going on there. All right. So, Brian, why don't you tell us a little about you, how to get a hold of you, what you do? And any last trades you have?
Last trades I have, let's see. For me personally, UPS. I like UPS here, and I actually am personally long it. We have some really, really beautiful flow into there today in a nice sweet spot.
You saw the March 24th 106.
Yep, I took them. Absolutely jumped right on the March 24th 106.
I made huge money this morning by 10:30, and I looked at it and I'm like, no. And then I looked at it about 20 minutes later. I went, dumbass.
Yeah, I don't even think it's too late to take those either.
I don't know.
We'll see in the morning.
Yes.
That one I grabbed. One that I grabbed that just got started and came in later in the day was HPQ, and that had some unusual flow. That's a name that has not been on. That's been kind of not.
That's all right.
Yeah, that could be. To get a hold of me, you can email me at brian@alphashark.com. To share out, if I could have the link shared for the alphashark.com/options trading blog. If you want to learn about Alpha Shark, I recommend that's the best place to do it. We have, last time I looked, almost 500 pages of content there across the board, across all of us that work together here.
Thanks, Brian. So for me, guys, this is where I tell you, I have no overnight trades. I made a ton of money the last week on Twitter. I got out today, both common and options, because you got a reversal and a failure candle. I will watch to see if it holds like in this area around 28 and maybe 38 and try it off of there, 38, 38.50. For now, I'm out and I'm flat and ahead of the Fed tomorrow. I'm going to take it easy and see what shows itself. We'll see how the markets react to Apple earnings and where we go from there. You know, normally I have some ideas. Right now, I'm content to sit quietly and watch the markets here after a huge week and a half for myself and just see where it goes from here. So, sorry, you know, usually when I have something, I'm much more boisterous. I do think Twitter eventually fills this gap up into the 42.20 area. But, you know, try to go today and fail. When I see that, time to get out. We'll see what happens tomorrow there. For me, you can visit me at smartoptiontrading.com. When you come over there, I have real-time option flow. You come in there, you sign up, you get flow all day long on my private Twitter feed. You get setups every morning with the morning setups video. I go over what I like, what I don't like, what I'm thinking about the markets here, longs and shorts, a recap video of the day's action and what looks good moving forward. And every day we do a weekly mentoring webinar where I come in and I talk to my subscribers about what I like, what's going on, and any questions you have that I can't answer during the day. It's $25 for the first month. Cancel anytime, $100. a month thereafter. So, Brian, I'd like to thank you for being here with me from Alpha Shark, myself, Mike Pisani, and David, thanks for having us on. Love doing this show. Can't wait to be back.
All right. Thanks, guys. Just a quick reminder to everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. Also, you can go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past shows. And be sure to join us for both shows next week. At the Monday show will be 1 p.m. Eastern, and the analyze next episode of this show will be Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. I got two good first-time guests on the schedule for next week. Michael Guess, a longtime friend of mine, is going to be on for the first time on the Monday show. And someone I met more recently, Marina Villatoro, will be on the Tuesday show for the first time. And then returning guests for next week will be Mark Sachs, Simon Klein, and Christian Fromhertz. So just want to thank my guests again for
this week.
Mike Pisani of Alpha Shark and Smart Options. Smart Options Trading.com. Sorry about that. And Brian Klindworth of Alpha Shark.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.